Divorcedus, reel 4.
Now, I didn't quite follow this business of caning. What was actually involved? If a boy was caught smoking, what were all the various stages?
If he was caught smoking, he would be taken before the duty officer. The duty officer would ask him why he was smoking, and then he would say, well, commander's report. And he'd be up before the commander next day, and he would be punished. The punishment would be served on him then.
Now, once he'd been sentenced to 6 cuts, exactly how was the caning administered? What happened? What was the scene that was going on?
There'd be before dinner, it'd be 11 o'clock, I think, or half past 11. All the boys would be taken downstairs to the... we didn't have a gymnasium like that. They used the mess deck for anything like that. And the vaulting horse would be brought down from the upper deck or wherever it was, and all the boys would be assembled, and the duty officer would read out the reason why he's being punished. Smoking or for disobedience of orders, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they went ashore and tried to run away and was brought back again.
And what clothes did the boy have on?
Well, they had white duck suits, known as duck suits. It was white, and they just keep them trousers on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was caning very common aboard Arethusa?
Yes, it was. Because always some boy was in trouble.
So, calling the boys together to witness punishment, that was pretty frequent, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What other things, apart from smoking, could you get caned for?
Well, that's run away, trying to desert, or swearing. If a boy was caught swearing, he'd be well and truly punished more than he would for smoking.
Really?
Yes. It would be hotter on that. They were hotter on swearing. And the other one would be insolence to an officer or to a senior boy.
Mm-hmm. Apart from caning, caning was the sort of most severest punishment you could get, but apart from that, what was the sort of general level of discipline? I mean, were there other ways of administering discipline apart from caning?
Well, in the Arethusa, I can't really remember. I don't, there'd be extra work in the evening if a boy was slow in doing his or doing any work and like that. He would have to do extra work in the evening.
I see.
Otherwise, it's, I can't remember anything else.
Yes. When your course of training on Arethusa finished, what happened to you?
You mean?
I mean, did you have exams and interviews and selection procedures and things like
this? No, I really cannot say what how they come to pick me or the remainder of us to go so early into the Navy. What I mean is that there was no exams or that. We was asked questions during the course of the instructions, but never. I can't remember having exams.
I thought you told me you had an interview with the commander at the end of the training period.
Well, that would be before we went away.
Now, in March 1912, you left Arethusa, went on to to Ganges, into the Navy proper.
Yeah.
How did you like Ganges after the Arethusa?
Oh, well, the food was better. More food. More food to be given to you.
What happened to you? Well, what happened after you left the Arethusa?
Well, we was all taken there. The doctor took us down to Chatham Barracks by train, and from the time we got to the gates and the doctor reported to the duty officer, we started running. And running all the way down to the drill shed, where we was taken before an officer, and he told us that we'd have to go and pass the doctor. And when we'd pass the doctor, we had to come back here, and that was outside of what was known as the regulating office, and we would be given a mess. And where to go, how to go to it. And I think in the afternoon or the next day we had to sit and pass an educational examination.
Mm-hmm. And you left Chatham and went on to Shotley, to the Ganges.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the journey?
Not really. It was a slow train to Harwich, from Liverpool Street to Harwich. I think somewhere about 4 hours journey.
Yeah, and you arrived at Ganges and...
at Harwich, you see, and then when you went across by steamboat to Shotley. And then when we got to the barracks itself, you had to pass through the quarter deck. And there you start running. And you went down to the down the cover way to the barber's shop. The new entrance part was known as the new entrance part. You had the haircut, the barber there, the bath, and then you're kitting up. Clothes to wear, not to, you wasn't kidding that properly, but clothes to wear. All the others was taken from you.
What were these clothes?
Put them down as second-hand sailor suits. Been washed and washed and washed and used and used.
Do you have a name for them?
Well, what was known as jumper, trousers.
I thought you said they were nosy clothes.
Nosy, yeah. Well, nosy, not nosy clothes, nosy. Or nosies. It was the person itself. You're a nosy.
I meant you're a new boy, didn't you?
Mm.
Yeah. I see. Now, a few days later, you were issued with your full kit.
Yes.
What kit were you issued with? Can you give me all the details of your equipment issue? Uniforms.
Well, two suits, number one and a number two suit, and one cap. Excuse me. One cap with a cap cover white, a blue cap with a cap cover white, and you put that over there during the summer. Put that on top of your hat for summer. Cap brim. Lanyard, silk, a knife, known as a passer's dirk, boots, shoes, stockings, underclothes, and the flannel. Not a vest, you wouldn't put it down as a vest, a flannel shirt with a blue ribbon, across the front.
Mm-hmm.
Everything appertaining to clothes, you him there. Two of each. So you'd always have one set clean, that underclothes and socks.
Yes, and then there'd be hammocks and bedding and bed covers and pillowcases and sheets and things like this.
You get one blanket, two hammocks, two hammocks, and the clothes, which was you slung the hammock on. Two bed covers, one horsehair bed, and
what was the horsehair bed? Was that to lay in the hammock?
Lay in the hammock, yes.
Yeah.
And so I say, one blanket. That's all we got.
Now, last time you told me a lot of interesting things about the way sailors made their uniform issue a bit more tiddly.
That's right, yes.
Could you run through...
Well, you see, you weren't allowed to do that, really, there. We used to do it when we went home on leave. You see, you had to just go with the rules of the service. That you didn't do anything to upset the rules of the service by putting hooks and things on your jumper to keep it down. But you were allowed one privilege of your having your silk, that was your black silk, neat, so neat that they allowed you to keep it in a press, and you made your own press of two pieces of wood and tied them together.
But although you may not have, strictly speaking, been allowed to do these things, you did do these things. Yeah, well, give me some examples of the tiddly things you used to do. Like, to your trousers, for example.
Your trousers, instead of having the... There, you see. The seam...
Vertical.
Down that way. You folded them concertina fashion. And then you put them between two pieces of wood and tie the wood to, tie it so tightly that they was pressed like that, and they would remain like that when you took them out to wear.
How did you keep the creases in once you'd pressed them?
Well, it was just the pressure on the wood. You didn't wet them or anything like that. You wouldn't wet your trousers like that to keep them there. He just simply did that with the serge, you see.
How did you iron them?
No ironing. Your ironing was bought with a cricket bat or a piece of wood shaped like a cricket bat and a rolling pin.
I don't understand that. How can you use a cricket bat and a rolling pin for pressing?
Well, you... at a handle, and the blade of the cricket bat. You wrapped your clothes. That's your collars mostly. It was for collars, the blue collar with a blue jean collar with the three rows of tape on it. You folded that in a position, certain position, and you wrapped that round this rolling pin, and you put it on the table and push it backwards and forwards like that.
I see, yes. And you'd use this method on your collars, only on your collars, would you?
Only on your collars. You wouldn't want it on your jumpers or anything like that, because
yes.
Well, they was folded up, just ordinary folded up and put in your kit bag.
Yes. Now, what were you explaining to me about what you'd do at home to keep your collars down?
Oh, you've heard of press studs. Well, you sew a press stud on the shoulder, and under the collar, and just press them down and keep them down, and put your silk round so that, and your lanyard, so that it would come right across the lanyard would come right across the chest, and the silk would be well across the chest.
Okay. Cap ribbons. You used to do some tiddlying to your cap ribbons.
Yes, you put a either a little threepenny piece in, or a very small button in where you tied your bow. And the ends of the caprim, you make it swallowtails.